ever get tripped up by a loose screw. Me too. But I'm talking about the legal kind, you know? Picture this. You're trying to ship what seem like totally ordinary aircraft parts, nuts, bolts, you know, the usual, totally harmless, right?
Right.
But hold on a sec.
Yeah.
What if those fasteners are, say, headed for a fighter jet?
Mm.
Suddenly, you're not shipping just hardware. You're shipping, well, potential weapons, at least as far as export regulations are concerned.
It's a whole other side of aviation most people don't even realize.
It's a side most people don't realize is, yeah, surprisingly complicated.
Yeah.
And that's why we're diving headfirst into this whole world.
Okay.
We've got a really interesting article here from Aviation Maintenance Magazine.
Later.
It's called Exporting Aircraft Parts. ITARs or EARs.
Okay.
Choosing the right set of export regulations.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, nobody wants to end up in legal hot water over a bull.
Right. Absolutely not.
So by the time we're done with this deep dive, you'll be able to navigate this maze, figure out if your aircraft part falls under ITARs, that's the State Department, right? Or EARs, which is the Commerce Department.
That's the goal.
No more guessing games, just straight up clarity.
Clarity and confidence.
Exactly.
In a world that can often feel very murky.
Murky is a good word for it.
Yeah.
So let's try to unravel this whole acronym mystery.
Yeah.
What exactly are ITARs and EARs, and why on earth should we care about them?
Right. So essentially, ITARs stands for International Traffic in Arms Regulations.
Okay.
And we can think of this as the State Department's domain, right?
Right.
They have the final say on anything deemed related to defense articles.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, aircraft parts can definitely fall under that umbrella.
Okay.
EARs, on the other hand, stands for Export Administration Regulations.
Got it.
And this is the Commerce Department's territory.
Okay.
They're dealing with a broader range of exports.
So if you mix these two up, it's not just like an oops moment.
Oh, no, no.
This is serious business.
This is not like mixing up salt and sugar in your recipe.
Right.
We're talking about some serious potential legal ramifications here.
Okay.
Each department, state and commerce, they each have their own playbook, their own set of rules that govern exports.
Right, right.
And here's the kicker. A single part can only belong to one team, one department's jurisdiction.
So it's one or the other, no double dipping.
Exactly.
Got it. But this whole process, I mean, wasn't it even more of a headache in the past?
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I've heard some horror stories.
Imagine, just imagine, you had to figure out the original design intent of a part.
Oh, God.
Just to figure out which set of regulations applied.
Wow.
It was like trying to read the mind of the engineer who designed it.
Yeah, like decades ago.
Yeah, decades ago.
Oh, man.
Talk about a logistical nightmare, right?
A total nightmare.
But thankfully, about a decade ago, the Commerce and State Departments, along with some smart folks from trade associations, they all got together.
Good.
They said enough is enough. They streamlined these export regulations. And thankfully, they made life so much easier for exporters.
Thank goodness for small favors, right?
Absolutely.
So how do we cut through all this jargon, all these acronyms, and actually figure out which department ITARs or EARs gets to claim our precious aircraft part?
You know, the article we're looking at really nails it on the head here.
Okay.
It all starts with knowing your part inside and out.
Oh.
What's its primary function? What does it do?
Right, right.
And where you're shipping the part is actually secondary, except for a few unique situations.
So it's all about the part's core identity, like its DNA.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm with you.
Right.
Now, let's imagine for a moment we're dealing with a part that falls under ITARs, the State Department's territory.
Okay.
What kind of parts are we talking about here?
So the ITARs list, it's surprisingly specific.
Really?
Gets into the weeds. But rather than bore you with all the technicalities,
Aziz, no.
Let's focus on, let's say, the most intriguing, right?
Oh.
First up, we've got components destined for those top secret cutting-edge aircraft.
Yeah.
The ones you only hear about in whispers, right?
Right.
Think the B-21 Raider with that incredible stealth technology.
Wow, yeah.
Or the F-35 Lightning II, which is practically a flying computer.
It's like something out of the future.
And get this. They're already regulating parts for future variants.
Future variants.
Aircraft that haven't even been fully imagined yet.
Wow, they're really thinking ahead, huh?
They're playing the long game, absolutely.
So it's not just about these whole aircraft, right?
Right.
It gets even more specific than that.
Oh, absolutely. It gets granular.
Okay.
We're talking specific components here. Like, for instance, arresting gear.
Arresting gear.
Like those tail hooks.
Oh, right.
That grab onto those cables on aircraft carriers during landing.
Talk about high stakes.
High stakes, exactly.
Oh.
And then you've got things like thrust vectoring systems, which allow aircraft to maneuver in ways that, frankly, seem to defy physics.
Like something straight out of a movie, but it's real life.
Exactly.
Wow.
And we could be talking about something as seemingly simple as a fuel line component.
Okay.
But you see, if that component is designed to, let's say, self-seal after being hit by a bullet.
Oh, wow.
That suddenly falls under ITARs.
So even the, like, seemingly mundane parts have these hidden layers.
They often do.
Wow.
And then to add another layer, ITARs also cover parts that might not seem directly related to aircraft at all.
Really?
But they're absolutely crucial for their operation.
Okay.
Think specific types of guidance systems, the kind that help those advanced aircraft hit their targets with pinpoint accuracy.
It's like a chain reaction, one highly specialized part leading to another.
Interconnected, all of it.
Fascinating. But what about the other side of the coin, the ears?
Right.
When does the Commerce Department step in?
That's a great question. And it brings us to a really crucial point. If your part isn't HISR on that very specific ITARS list, the one we were just talking about, HISR, it likely falls under the jurisdiction of the Commerce Department and the ears.
So it's not always about those, you know, super high-tech, top-secret components?
Exactly.
Oh, got it.
And what's fascinating here is that the ears, they have their own dedicated classification, you see.
Okay.
It's the 600 series, specifically designed for defense parts that fall under their watch.
Okay, 600 series, break that down for me a little bit.
Of course. So you might think, okay, if it's, you know, defense related, it automatically goes to the State Department, right?
Right, that's kind of what I would think, yeah.
But not so fast. The 600 series exists precisely because even within the ears, there's a recognition that some parts, while not quite as sensitive as those on the ITARS list, still have potential military applications.
So it's like the Commerce Department saying, hey, these parts, we're keeping an eye on these too.
You got it. It's a nuanced system. But the 600 series is a great example of how it strives for clarity.
Right, right.
For instance, let's say you're dealing with, oh, I don't know, a specific type of navigation system. It might not be cutting edge enough to be in an F-35, right?
Right.
But it could still be used in certain military transport aircraft.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where the 600 series comes into play. It's like a little heads up, you know, a little extra scrutiny is needed here.
So it's like, if I'm an exporter and I see that 600 series designation, I should probably slow my roll a little bit, right?
Exactly.
Proceed with caution.
Proceed with caution.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect time to bring in those MROs we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, the maintenance, repair, and overhaul businesses.
Exactly.
Right.
They need to be keenly aware of this 600 series.
I bet.
Because they often handle parts that, on the surface, might seem pretty unassuming.
Right.
But in reality, they actually fall into this category.
I got it, got it.
So let's paint a picture, right?
Yeah.
Let's say an MRO receives a part from overseas, right? They're going to do some repairs.
Okay.
And this part happens to be designated under the EARS 600 series. Now, here's the question.
Okay.
What are the implications when it's time to send that part back to that foreign customer?
Okay, so even though it came from overseas, we're still...
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of people get tripped up.
Okay.
Even though that part came from overseas, returning it to that foreign customer is still considered an export.
Whoa.
And therefore subject to U.S. export regulations.
So even if that part, like, technically isn't leaving the U.S. for the first time...
That's right.
It still counts?
It still counts as an export.
Wow. See, these are the things I had no idea about.
And this is where those misconceptions about ITARs and EARs can really come back to bite you.
Right.
There's a common assumption that if you're selling to a defense ministry, it automatically means ITARs.
Right. It's got to be ITARs, right? Because it's defense.
But it's not always the case.
It's not always the case.
No. It all comes back to that very first step. Identifying the part itself.
Oh. Okay.
What is it at its core?
Right.
So let's say, for example, an MRO receives a repaired engine component from, an overseas airline.
Okay.
If that component falls under the EARS 600 series, the MRO still needs to follow the appropriate EARS procedures.
Okay.
When sending it back, even if that airline happens to be, you know, part of a country's defense ministry.
So even though we're talking about a defense entity overseas, it's not a given that we're in ITAR's territory.
You got it. It's a subtle but really important distinction.
Wow. Okay. So it's like a two-step process, right? You got to identify the part, then you figure out the destination.
Exactly.
But that part's like inherent classification always comes first.
You got it. It's all about that initial identification.
That's really interesting.
Here's another example, just to kind of drive this home.
Okay.
Let's say you're an MRO, and you specialize in landing gear systems.
Okay.
And you've got an aircraft coming in from, I don't know, a European airline. It needs some repairs done.
Okay. Makes sense.
Now, even though that part, those landing gear components, originated overseas,
yeah.
Once you've serviced them, right, and you're sending them back, that's an export.
Okay.
Subject to U.S. regulation.
Right, right.
And depending on the specific type of landing gear component we're talking about,
okay,
it could fall under ITARs, or it could be the year 600 series.
It's like those landing gear parts become, like, honorary U.S. residents for a while. Like, they get their little green cards while they're here getting repaired.
I like that. That's a great way to think about it.
And then they got to go through customs on their way out.
That's exactly right. And that's what I mean when I say MROs need to be incredibly diligent.
Right, because they're the ones.
They're the ones on the front lines.
They're dealing with parts from all over the place.
From all corners of the globe.
Each with its own story, its own classification.
Every single one. It's a lot to keep track of, for sure.
It is a lot. But, I mean, at the end of the day, understanding all this stuff, the ITARs, the EARs, that 600 series,
right.
It's not just about, like, ticking the boxes and avoiding those legal headaches, right?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It goes way deeper than that.
It's about something bigger.
It's about accountability.
Okay.
It's about responsibility.
Right.
In a global system.
Because aviation, I mean, it's all about global collaboration, right?
That's the heart of it.
You've got parts, expertise, innovation, all crisscrossing borders constantly.
It's this intricate dance.
It really is.
And when exporters, you know, especially those MROs.
Right.
When they really have a solid grasp on these regulations.
Okay.
It empowers them to take part in that global system confidently.
Right. Like they know the rules of the game.
They know the rules of the game. They know they're playing it right.
Exactly.
And that's a good feeling.
It's like having a clear flight plan before takeoff. Right?
Exactly.
You wouldn't want to navigate all the complexities of international airspace without one.
Not a chance.
It'd be chaos.
Total chaos.
So these regulations, they provide that flight plan. As complicated as they may seem at times.
They're there for a reason.
They help you avoid the turbulence.
All right.
And reach your destination smoothly.
That's the goal.
Exactly.
Apparently.
Safe and sound.
So to sum it all up. We've made our way through this acronym jungle.
We have.
We've figured out ITARs and EARs.
Unraveled the mystery.
And that all-important lesson, know your aircraft parts.
Inside and out.
Like you know your own reflection.
Absolutely.
And of course, a big thanks to that fantastic article from Aviation Maintenance Magazine for guiding us through it.
Couldn't have done it without them.
But before we wrap up, I do want to leave everyone with a little something to ponder.
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
We've been laser-focused on individual parts this whole time, right?
Right.
But what happens when you're dealing with a whole system?
Okay.
Like, let's say a sophisticated avionics suite for an aircraft.
Okay.
It's packed with all sorts of components, super advanced stuff.
Right.
Now, some of those individual parts within that suite?
They might be subject to ITARs, even if the overall system itself isn't.
That is a really interesting point, and it highlights just how crucial that initial step really is.
Yeah.
Identifying every single component.
Wow. So we're not just talking about part.
It's about the entire ecosystem.
It's like a game of hide and seek, but instead of finding objects, we're uncovering regulations.
Hidden in plain sight sometimes.
Wow.
And that's where that deep understanding of both ITARs and EARs becomes so critical.
Okay.
It's not enough to know one or the other.
Right.
You need both.
You got to be bilingual.
You got to be fluent.
In the language of regulations.
Exactly.
Wow, because sometimes it's in the details, right?
The devil's in the detail.
One tiny component can make all the difference.
Absolutely.
Wow, that is
a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot.
But it's important work.
It is important work.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to have to bring this deep dive to a close.
Hey.
But for everyone listening out there, remember, the world of aircraft part exports, it's fascinating.
It is.
It's always changing.
It's evolving.
But with the right knowledge.
Right.
A little bit of curiosity.
Absolutely.
And maybe a magnifying glass for those really tiny details.
You'll be just fine.
You'll be well equipped to navigate it all.
Bon voyage.
Until next time.
See you later.